Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Balabha Giravarid Hari. Gopi Jana Balabha Giravarid Hari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvrad Gajarasu Teras Hadashri Shimana's Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namasi Sarasvati Gaur Vani Pacharni Nirvishesha Shinni Vari Paskada Desi Tarni. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 18, Text 2. They're making the print smaller and smaller. I don't know why. Let's see if I can figure this out. Okay. Can't really read this. Yeah, maybe. I'm having trouble for some reason. Okay. Oh, I think I got it here. Didarjatatrabicham daradharam. Praniyamanavim. Oh, no, I can't really see it. Wait a minute. I've got it here. Okay. Praniyamanavim. Oh, I'm sorry. Could somebody go ahead and lead it?
Jahasya Chahovana Gochara Mriga
Aniyamana Vinimakradangstraya Vashnantam Akshnasva Ruchornasriya Asacha Hovanagocharamriga Yadarshatatra Tra beach samba after rum. Vaishnavis. Chaho vanagochara mriga Okay, the darsha. He saw. Tatra. There. Abhijitam. The victorious. Dara. The earth. Dharam. Bearing. Pradiyamana. Being raised upward. Avinim. The earth. Agradangstraya. By the tip of his tusk. Mushnantam. Who is diminishing? Akshna. With his eyes. Svarucha. Hiranyaksha's own splendor. Aruna. Reddish. Shriya. Radiant. Jahasa. He laughed. Cha. And? Aho, O, Vanagocha, Amphibious, Mriga, Beast. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. He saw there the all-powerful personality of Godhead in his boar incarnation, bearing the earth upward on the ends of his tusks and robbing him of his own splendor with his reddish eyes, The demon laughed. Oh, an amphibious beast. I kind of smile and laugh every time I read that. Is anyone familiar with the old tape radio programs they did in Los Angeles? Any of you older people? Anyway, they had these pastimes they were reading, and I remember this one. They were on Hiranyaksha, and I think it was Amla Bhakta, you know, who was reciting, who was the narrator, and he goes, oh, amphibious beast. I mean, it was a... Anyway, the kids always like that. Moving on. Purport. In a previous chapter, we have discussed the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Varaha, the boar. While Varaha, with his tusks, engaged in uplifting the submerged earth from the depths of the waters, this great demon, Hiranyaksha, met him and challenged him, calling him a beast. Demons cannot understand the incarnations of the Lord. They think that his incarnation is a fish or a boar or tortoise or big beasts only. They misunderstand the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even in his human form, and they deride his descent. In the Chaitanya Sampradaya, there is sometimes a demoniac misconception about the descent of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu's body is spiritual, but demoniac persons consider the body of the Supreme Personality to be material, just like ours. Avajananti mam bhudha. Persons who have no intelligence deride the transcendental form of the Lord as material. Omagyana Timrandasha Gananjana Slakaya Chaksun Vitamina Tasma Sri Kravena Maha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasiti Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Damostite Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindamaneshri Vishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Pare Panchakopa Tarubhishcha Kriba Sindhu Bebicha Patitano Pavane Bhyo Vaishnava Namaha Jai Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada refers to a previous discussion of Varaha lifting the earth planet. This was in chapter 13 that we read some time ago. So there's actually two different appearances of Varaha. The first is when he lifts the earth from the Garbhadak ocean in his white incarnation. And the second is the killing of Hiranyaksha in the red or black incarnation, which we're going to be reading in this chapter. The first appearance is in the Swayambhuva Manu, and the second is in the Chakshusha Manu, which, of course, billions of years ago and billions of years apart. Now, all of our acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, have said that both appearances are more or less combined together by Maitreya Rishi in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada describes this in 314.2, the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam in that verse. And he quotes Jiva Goswami, and Vishnajagavai Thakur also describes this, and it's Rupa Goswami in the Lagu Bhagavatarma. Also, they all basically agree that there are the two different incarnations, and they've sort of been combined together. So we're seeing Varaha coming out of the ocean as he saved the earth planet, and then immediately there's Hiranyaksha, and he's fighting Hiranyaksha. They happen a little bit differently, but it makes... It's a great story. The Bhagavatam just put them together. There's nothing wrong at all with that. The main point of this purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that the Lord's body is always spiritual. It's never material. No matter what form he assumes, no matter what he looks like, whether he comes in the form of an animal, he's always fully transcendental. It's fully the form of the Lord Krishna, even though it may have a different appearance. And in the, of course, in chapter 1-3, Srimad Bhagavatam 1-3, it's from that Krishna is the source of all these incarnations. All the incarnations are listed. Then finally, of course, we have the verse Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, saying that all of these incarnations, Krishna is the source of all of them. You know, so why are there different incarnations? They serve different purposes. There are many different specific purposes. And also, there's certain transcendental pastimes that give Krishna enjoyment. Just like we've been reading how Krishna wanted to have a good fight. So he was somewhat engineered, you could say, the Leela of Jaya and Vijaya being cursed, falling down the material world, they can, of course, take the appearance of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and he can have a great fight, because who else can fight with Krishna? So he has to have special devotees, you know, who can do this. So it's part of his transcendental pastimes, transcendental enjoyment, but it also does serve specific purposes. And, of course, we have sort of the template for Krishna's appearances, and the reason why he appears is where? Where do we see that? Bhagavad Gita, right, fourth chapter. Right, Prichanayam Sarunam Vinashayachi Duskritam Dharma Samstar Panartayo Sambhavami Yoge Yoge. Krishna comes to please his devotees, to do away with the miscreants, and to reestablish religious principles. So, when Varaha comes, he saves the earth planet. He reestablishes the universal order. He also pleases his devotees, who were all in distress because the earth had fallen, right? The sages and Prajapatis and everything, they approach Brahma. What can we do? We're supposed to be doing our service and, you know, getting things going here on earth, repopulating, et cetera, et cetera. But we can't do anything because the earth planet's at the bottom of the Garbhodak Ocean. So, of course, he had to take care of that. Brahma said, I'll have to meditate on that. And, of course, Varaha comes out of his nostril, as one does. And, you know, so, and therefore, we have these wonderful pastimes we've covered for several chapters now in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He also pleases his devotees. It's described that Lord Bhor is actually very beautiful. The sages glorify him. In 1341, it says, your transcendental body has become beautiful because of your lifting the earth on the edge of your tusks. So, transcendental bodies become beautiful. Now, we often don't think that a boar would be particularly beautiful, but this is Krishna. This is a transcendental boar. This is not some ordinary, you know, hog that you find out in the farmyard. And but, you know, boars are interesting animals. Anybody ever had an experience with a boar? You know, I remember when I was a kid down on my grandfather's farm in southern Illinois, sometimes, you know, how kids are. We thought it was kind of fun to agitate the pigs, the hogs. You should see his 500-pound boar coming after you. Anyway, they can be quite ferocious. And, of course, Lord Bhor certainly was when he fought with Hiranyaksha. Okay. So now there's a nice description of his transcendental nature also in the 13th chapter, verse 28. He was personally the supreme Lord Vishnu and therefore transcendental. Yet because he had the body of a hog, he searched after the earth by smell. His tusks were fearful. He glanced over the devotee Brahmins as engaged in offering prayers. Thus he entered the water. So again, he assumed this form for a specific purpose. Prabhupada described it, you know, hogs are good at rooting out things out of dirty places. So he assumed a form that would be expert at bringing the earth out of the bottom of the ocean and bringing it up. Prabhupada says in the purport, we should always remember that although the body of a hog is material, the hog form of the Lord is not materially contaminated. It's not possible for an earthly hog to assume a gigantic form spreading throughout the sky beginning from Satyaloka. His body is always transcendental in all circumstances. Therefore, the assumption of the form of a boar is only his pastime. Okay. Now, Prabhupada makes the very, very important point that Krishna is often misunderstood in his incarnations. Many, many people do not understand his spiritual nature, and even when he comes in a human form. So, even when Krishna personally appeared 5,000 years ago, thousands or millions of people saw him, but how many people understood that he was Krishna? Did Prabhupada say in a purport once, like maybe 50 people? Remember that? He said like 50, 100 people maybe understood who Krishna was. You know, so even though he's right there in front of people, they don't understand that this is actually the transcendental supreme personality of Godhead. And they think, oh, he's just some ordinary coward boy, you know, playing or something like that. Now, of course, the Brajabasis may see him as an ordinary coward boy, but that's totally different. That's out of pure love. And that's the Yogamaya covering, which is very different than the Mahamaya covering. So this verse Prabhupada quotes, 9:11, very important verse, avajananti mamudha manushim tanamashritam param bhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshvaram. It fools deride me when I descend in the human form, They do not know my transcendental nature as the supreme Lord of all that be. It's a very long purport. I'm going to read a couple paragraphs of it because Prabhupada really explains this point so nicely here. He says, from the other explanations of the previous verse in this chapter, it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although appearing like a human being, is not a common man. The Personality of Godhead who conducts the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of the complete cosmic manifestation cannot be a human being. Actually, he's the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, he is the Supreme Lord. This is the first verse, right, of Brahma Samhita. Very, very important verse. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karanam. Now, this is, I think, I always thought this was a wonderful verse because it explains exactly who Krishna is, right? Ishvara Parama Krishna, the supreme controller, Satchidananda Vigraha. What is his consistency? Satchidananda Vigraha. He's the eternal form of bliss and knowledge. Anadir Adir Govinda. He's the original. There is no one before him. Prabhupada would sometimes say, if we want to know who God is, what is God? Even for a non-devotee, if you say, what is God? Well, God has to be the origin, right? You go back, you trace things back to where does anything come from, and you come to, and if there's anything before God, then that would be God, right? In other words, the supreme has to be the absolute truth, the source of everything. So Anadir Adir Govinda, and it is not just some, you know, theoretical, you know, or abstract form of God. It's Govinda. Govinda, the cowherd boy in Vrindavan, right? Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Okay. So material bodies cannot perform the wonderful acts described in these verses. His body is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Let's see. In so many ways, he's acting like an ordinary man, but actually his body is Satchidananda Vigraha, eternal bliss, knowledge absolute. This is confirmed in the Vedic language also. Satchidananda Rupaya Krishnaya. I offer my obeisances under the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is the eternal blissful form of knowledge. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1:1. And there are other descriptions in the Vedic language. Tam ekam Govindam. You are Govinda, the pleasure of the senses and the cows. Satchidananda Vigraha. Your form is transcendental, full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 1:38. I think it's interesting that here in the Bhagavad Gita that he quotes as his sort of proofs or his substantiation of Krishna's eternal Satchidananda position, these two verses from Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Gopal Tapani Upanishad is a very interesting book. It's part of the Atharva Veda, and it's actually a very easy read. It's like just two chapters. The first chapter was spoken by Brahma to the sages, and the second chapter is Devrasa Muni speaking to Radharani. Interesting. And there's a translation by Bhanu Swami and has the commentaries of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Baladeva Bijavushana. And it establishes Krishna as the supreme. It also teaches the 18-syllable mantra and the meaning of it. Sometimes we hear about this 18-syllable mantra and it seems like it's something very obscure or something, you know, very arcane. Actually, it's the sixth line of the Gayatri Mantra, so most of you know it. That's the 18-syllable mantra. And that's, of course, also given in Brahma Samhita, the 24th verse, fifth chapter. Actually, it's described that what was spoken to Krishna and the mantra he was given when he was meditating, you know, on the lotus was this Gayatri mantra, the sixth line. Very important. Okay, so the first verse that Prabhupada quoted was, I offer respects to Krishna, the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, who performs actions without fatigue, who is to be known by the conclusion of the Vedas, who is the guru of all knowledge and reveals himself by guiding the intelligence of the jiva. So, not only is Krishna so wonderful, but he also can be known to us. And how is he known? He reveals himself. You know, you can't study so much and then you understand Krishna, or you get, you know, you can't do so many things. You can't do so many austerities. There's nothing you can really do or perform, you know, do anything that's going to make Krishna reveal himself to you. Krishna is revealed to his devotees, and he guides them through the intelligence. Of course, that's often through the Paramatma, the Supersoul, the Antaryami, within the heart. Hey. And then the other verse Prabhupada quoted, 138, along with the devatas, I eternally satisfy Govinda, the form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, non-different from his mantra, seated under desire tree in Vrindavan by offering praise. And that was why the mantra was so important. And of course, as I think as all of our acharyas point out, even more important is the Hare Krishna mantra. The 16-word Hare Krishna mantra is, in this age of Kali, the most important mantra. Yeah. Okay. Prabhupada talks about, well, Bhagavad Gita calls these people that don't understand Krishna's form mudha, foolish. I was thinking about that. There's actually like kind of two types of mudhas. First, there's people who are just foolish, uneducated people. They can't understand spiritual science. They're totally absorbed in the material world, right? They think that's all it is. They wouldn't know an avatar if it came up and kicked them, you know. I mean, they're just, you know, basically fairly ignorant and would have no conception of Krishna. And if you show them Krishna, they just think, oh, this is just some mythology. But, you know, there's another kind. It's almost worse. And that's what I would call the educated foolish people. And those who should know better, who do know something of spiritual science, and they are what we generally call the Mayavadis, right? You know, so the Mayavadis, where am I here? Obviously think that basically everything is Brahman. There is only the spiritual energy. Everything else is illusion. And therefore, ultimately, I am one with God. We are all the same. You're the same. You are all the same. There is no differentiation. There's no variegatedness. You know, there is no distinctions. And, of course, the word Mayavadi actually means one who thinks that when Krishna or the Lord appears in this world, that his body is simply material energy or Maya. So basically, they're saying Krishna is Maya. And that is very, very offensive. And that's why, you know, Prabhupada really talks about Mayavadis a lot, right? And in a very disparaging way. If you notice, I've said this many times, but Prabhupada doesn't really criticize other religions, right? He doesn't criticize Christianity particularly or other, you know. I mean, he may say we have higher knowledge, but he's not particularly critical of people who are trying to worship God in some way. But he's very critical of Mayavadis because they are actually deliberately distorting the information. They're saying that, you know, there really is no God. We're all God. So what's Krishna? You know, basically meaningless, of no value. You know, it's kind of like someone said, you know, your father and mother don't really exist. You know, they're imaginary. All those friends or somebody you love, nah, they're not real either. You know, it's like, it wouldn't make you feel too good, would it? No. So we're not very happy with Mayavadis because they're denying the existence of the who we love the most, our most lovable object, you know, of Krishna. So anyway, very offensive mentality. So Krishna has, of course, many incarnations. He expands himself unlimitedly. Many of these incarnations are described in different places of scriptures. Madhya Leela chapter 20 has a nice description of the different incarnations and avatars. Lagu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami goes through all the avatars. And I gave a class some time ago. I try to break down all the, you know, Prakash and Vikash and Swamsa, and I'm still confused by it, even after trying to study it. So I'm not going to go into anything that technical. But basically, it is a very technical subject. But Krishna's expansions are called, I'm going to keep it simple, plenary portions. We hear that term a lot, Krishna's portions and plenary portions. What's a plenary portion? What does plenary mean? Complete, yeah. That's a very good, complete. Yeah, after reading it for about 50 years, I finally figured I should look it up a few years ago and just didn't realize what plenary actually means. It means complete. It means the same as the original. You know, in other words, it's completely, like for instance, they often use it as a plenary meeting. A plenary meeting might be a special meeting, but if it's a plenary session, it means it counts as a full session. It has all the power and the voting and everything else. It's just like a regular session of the group or the committee. So these expansions are called plenary portions, which means they have the same powers as the original. When Lord Varaha appears, he is Krishna, right? He has all the powers of Krishna. Why doesn't he seem like Krishna? Well, that is true. The difference is the amount of qualities that they show, right? Different incarnations display different degrees of qualities and different degrees of completeness, right? So Krishna has six opulences, and those six opulences are demonstrated in different degrees according to, you know, with different avatars. And it's described, this is in Lago Bhagavatamrita, that all six opulences are fully displayed by actually only three: Nrisingadev, Ramachandra, and Lord Krishna. And it's successive, right? Ramachandra more than Nrisingadev, Krishna more than all of them. And so we know that the name Krishna is worth 1,000 names of Ram and like that. So, and then you have others like Lord Varaha, Matsya, Kurma. They display less opulences. They're fully Krishna, but they're not showing all their opulences. They're not displaying them in the same way. So because they don't really have all of the qualities, you might find that they are maybe less worshipped. You probably find fewer devotees of Varaha than you do Radha of Krishna, I would assume. I mean, I don't know. But that would be does that seem logical? It'd be my assumption that, you know, you're going to find more Sitaram devotees, you're going to find more Radha Krishna devotees than you are Kurma devotees, or, you know, like that. Oh, there are some. There are deities there, and people worship them. They probably get complete wonderful realization and prema, you know, from, you know, worship of those deities. But to us, we enjoy, well, there's actually, it's described by, Jiva Goswami, I know, in Krishna Sandarbha, there's basically two types of pastimes. They can be described many ways, but one way is there's two types of pastimes. There's Krishna's pastimes of creation, and there's his pastimes of sweetness. And, you know, the creation is like the Purusha avatars, creating the world, doing all these things. We've been reading about a lot of that in the third canto as well. And then there are his creations of sweetness, which is when he appears as an incarnation. Of course, successively, the sweetest is Krishna himself. And it is stated that generally the Vaishnavas tend to prefer the pastimes of sweetness. So does that mean that we don't want to read about Lord Varaha or read about the creation of the cut? No, of course not. Prabhupada made it very clear that, you know, we should relish everything. We should relish all of the Bhagavatam. And I've been trying to I was thinking about this, and I've seen this. It's something I'm working on personally, is how to see or understand Krishna, or whatever your Ishtadev is, how you worship Krishna or how you attract Krishna in the cosmic manifestation or in the appearance of Lord Varaha. In other words, you don't think this is something different than Krishna. You say, oh, this Krishna, isn't this wonderful? Krishna does this too, and Krishna can do this. It's just like the residents of Vrindavan, the Vrajavasis, once in a while they get little inclinations that, you know, this their best friend or their lover or their son Krishna is a little bit more than an ordinary coward boy, right? He tends to do things that make them wonder sometimes, you know, like killing huge demons and lifting Govardhan Hill. And in fact, after Govardhan Hill that the coward men went to Nanda and said, we have some doubts here. What's going on with this boy? You know, he seems to be a little bit something very special. And of course, then Nanda, recalling the name-giving ceremony of Garga Muni, said, well, Garga Muni said that he would be like Narayan, you know. So in other words, so they thought, oh, yeah. So they assume he's empowered by Narayan. He has the powers of Narayan, or Narayan is helping him. Like, they didn't say, oh, well, now we know he's God, he's above Narayan. No, they said, you know, he's empowered like that. He's very, very special. Isn't that wonderful? You know, so it's like, you know, and sometimes those things will come up, you know, when, and of course, when Mother Yashoda looks in Krishna's mouth and the whole cosmic manifestation is there, is she think, oh, wonderful, this is what I want to see? Not so much, right? Not so much. She's bewildered. She gets a little anxious, a little stir. Like, what is this? Am I losing my mind? I'm seeing this. So finally, Krishna, out of his kindness, his mercy, you know, brings back the veil of Yogamaya so she can just see it. Oh, this is Krishna, my boy. I better do some special mantras to protect him or something. You know. And in fact, what I thought was really, going back to the name-giving ceremony, what was really interesting was Gargamuni says, this boy is very, very special. He's appeared in different colors and in different incarnations. You know, he has the powers of Narayan, so you need to protect him very carefully. They go, yes, we do. You know, why would they have to protect him so carefully if he's this powerful? Because that's their rasa, the vatsal rasa. That's their relationship with Krishna. And Krishna preserves that. You know, so it's kind of in Vrindavan, it's almost like a balancing act where Krishna can't show too much to disturb, you know, their sweet rasa with Krishna. At the same time, you know, he does what he does, kills demons, lives Govardhan Hill, and all kinds of amazing things. And, of course, even shows the coward men Goloka Vrindavan, you know. So, but they're always thinking, when he does something wonderful, the coward boys say, oh, Krishna, my friend, is so wonderful. The gopis say, my lover, Krishna, does incredible things. In other words, it's not like, in other words, the relationship is first. First he's my child, first he's my lover, first he's my friend, and then he does all these other things. And of course, that's contrasted between, say, Devaki and Vasudev, who are also wonderful pure devotees, eternal associates. So this isn't, you should never think of it as criticism. It's a little different relationship, that's all. Where sometimes they see Krishna as only their child, and sometimes they see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? You know, so they kind of go back and forth there. In fact, when they get too much, remember when did they first meet Krishna? Anyway, I guess after he came back to Mathura and killed Kamsa and like that, they first were like kind of on reverence, and Krishna said, this isn't good. So he covers them over again, so then they can just sit on his lap, and, you know, they can hold him and hug him, and, you know, he can be their child, but just what they really like, what they want. But they go a little bit back and forth. Unlike the residents of Vrindavan are pretty, they're pretty much, this is Krishna. This is the young, beautiful boy that we love so much in so many ways. Now, also, Krishna, of course, is different than all the other incarnations. He has special qualities. We know that. And, you know, in the Nectar of Devotion, there's a whole elaboration of the different qualities, 64 different qualities. And a jiva can attain up to 50 qualities. Shiva and Brahma can achieve 4 more. Narayan can achieve another 4. And finally, you get to the last 4 qualities that only Krishna has. Nobody has these except Krishna. And they are? What are they? What's one? I don't remember, I'm half deaf here. Flute, okay, the flute and Rupa, what?
Beauty.
His beautiful form, flute playing, Leela, which is especially wonderful pastimes with, you know, the gopis with, in fact, the prophet even says his childhood pastimes are very unique. And what was the fourth one? What was that?
Beautiful
pastime. But we said pastime, but then it's also his devotees, right? He has the highest quality of devotees which exhibit the greatest love of God of pure prema. Okay? So very, very special when Krishna comes. And obviously this is the Krishna conscious movement. We have Radha and Krishna on our altar. Most of us feel this extreme attraction. A couple days ago we celebrated Radhasthami. Did any of you feel kind of blissful that day? Yes.
Yes,
yes. No, I mean, it's just, no. there's nothing like the pastimes of Radha and Krishna for the Vaishnavas. You know, they're so beautiful, they're so wonderful, they're so heartwarming. The sweetness is there, and it's you know, we feel and we feel the mercy, right? Especially with Radharani, everyone is, you know, I think, feeling so much mercy from Radharani. And the classes were all about that, both of the classes, morning and night. They mostly both talking about Mahatma and Rukmini Devi about, you know, the mercy of Radharani and how wonderful it is and how sweet it is and her beautiful pastimes. So, I mean, this is what, you know, is so wonderful for devotees and what we relish. I want to very quickly just talk about Prabhupada sort of threw right in the middle of this purport something about Lord Nityananda. Did you know that? Notice that? So I had to think about that a little bit. Now, I'm assuming something might have been going on when Prabhupada was writing that purport. Because you notice, like, for instance, in Chaitanya, in Chaitanya Mangala. No, in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Bhaktisiddhanta's purports, right? Am I in the right book here? Okay. And anyway, everyone's looking blank. I say, yeah, right? Bhaktisiddhanta. He goes after these deviant sects over and over and over again. Obviously, that was a huge issue then, that he was fighting these, you know, against, you know, this deviation. So it came out a lot. So something must have been going on. Anyway, I was trying to figure this out. We know that there's issues. There was the Nityananda Vamsas, people who thought they were just like directly descendants, although of course they weren't. He only had one descendant, right? Who was, I know he was Shiradaksha Vishnu. What was his name?
Birbhadra.
Yeah, so they're not descended from Birbhadra, you know. But anyway, whatever they claim. Yeah, he didn't. So there's no descendants. Anyway, they claim they're descended from somehow or another from Nityananda, maybe through the Sipka line or something, but. All of our acharyas say this is bogus. There's also another group that I was reading that Prabhupada said that they think you only have to worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda because they're Radha Krishna, so you don't worship Radha and Krishna. And I said, no, Lord Chaitanya taught us, brought us to Radha and Krishna. We worship Lord Chaitanya to be able to come to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. I mean, you know, we worship both, of course. We worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, but not at the exclusion of Krishna. Anyway, there's one I kind of found that he may be talking about, and this is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj himself. This is in, where is this? I think it's in the fifth chapter of Adi Leela, where Nityananda is described. And then, starting about text 172, I'll just read this through quickly. At the end of the festival, Miniketan Ram Das went away offering his blessings to everyone. Miniketan Ram Das, of course, was a coward boy. He was, you know, in that mood. He was the greatest devotee of Nityananda Prabhu. At that time, there was some controversy with my brother. This is Krishnadas. My brother had firm faith in Lord Chaitanya, but only a dim glimmer of faith in Lord Nityananda. Knowing this, Sri Ram Das felt unhappy. I rebuked my brother. These two brothers, I told them, are like one body. They are identical manifestations. If you do not believe in Lord Nityananda, you will fall down. If you have faith in one but disrespect the other, your logic is like this, like the logic of half a hen. It would be better to be an atheist by slighting both brothers than a hypocrite by believing one and slighting the other. Thus, Sri Ramdas broke his flute in anger and went away, and at that time, my brother fell down. Yes, predicted. He says, I've thus described the power of the servants of Lord Chaitanya, and now I shall describe another characteristic of his mercy. That night, Lord Chaitanya appeared to me in a dream because of my good quality in chastising my brother. Then, of course, he goes on to describe how Lord Chaitanya came to him and told him, go to Vrindavan and all good things will happen. So then Krishnadas Kaviraj goes to Vrindavan and takes shelter of the six Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, later Raghunath Das, Jiva Goswami later, and So there was an issue there where at that time even there were devotees who did not believe in Lord Nityananda. I guess that would be like you'd say thinking that he was just material, that he was an ordinary person. Well, even though Lord Chaitanya might have been accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll just read this verse, text 202. All glory to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I've attained Sri Radha Govinda. purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who is famous for his poetic composition known as Pratarana, has lamented in one prayer, "When will Lord Nityananda be merciful upon me so I will forget all material desires?" Srila Narottam Das Thakur confirms that unless one is free from material desires to satisfy the needs of the body and senses, one cannot understand the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna Vrindavan. He also confirms one cannot understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna without going through the direction of the six Goswamis. Another verse, Narottama stated, "Without the causeless mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, one cannot enter into the affairs of Radha and Krishna." Okay? So we actually don't go directly to try to understand Radha and Krishna. We go through the Siddhic succession, of course, and we go through Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, and then the mercy of Radha and Krishna will be given to us. So the devotees relish all of Krishna's manifestations and incarnations. They're all wonderful. They're all, you know, full of nectar, full of interest. If nothing else, it's pretty exciting. These are pretty good fights and things, you know. I mean, even on that level, so many of Krishna. I was reading 10th Canto again. I got through the Vrindavan. Now I'm off to into Mathura and Dwarka. And I was thinking, boy, there's some exciting stories here. I'd forgotten how, you know. You know, I was thinking, remember Satrajit and his gold necklace, you know. I mean, that just was so much intrigue, you know. It kind of went on and on, all these different things. Anyway, very, very wonderful stories, just on that level. I mean, they're great. What to speak of, it's all completely spiritual, transcendental, because it's all about Krishna. And it all gives us so much wonderful instruction along the way, too. So, yeah, we relish all of Srimad Bhagavatam, and you know, we see how Krishna is manifesting himself in these different ways. Okay, my time is up. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Comments, questions? Yeah, Prabhu.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, thank you for a nice class. So I think you answered this in describing the misconception about Nityananda, but the purport says Chaitanya Sampradaya. So that's talking about our Sampradaya or some other?
No, I think it was talking about another Chaitanya group. I mean, there's a lot of groups that worship Lord Chaitanya, you know, in different ways. It may not be part of strictly from Lord Chaitanya, the Gaudiya tradition. 13 Upa Sampradayas, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of them. And if you want to read about them, check out Chaitanya Bhagavat. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati will tell you all about them. Have questions? Comment? Oh, Ragamika?
So Krishna says in the Gita, "One who understands the nature of my appearance and activities does not have to come back into this material world."
Yeah.
My understanding of the nature, which is actually mentioned in this purport, the nature of understanding Krishna, his form is not material. His appearance mm-hmm. is not material.
Right.
That they can't be, like the Mayavadis would say, this is all just Maya. Mm-hmm. But so now, did Prabhupada say, someone mentioned it not too long ago in the class, that a great percentage of Prabhupada's disciples will probably go to the heavenly planets?
I never heard that.
You never heard that? I've heard it before.
I never heard that.
Anyway, so I thought, wow, I mean, isn't it after hearing day after day this philosophy, don't we understand that Krishna, this form, his appearance, is transcendental?
Of course, there are devotees in the heavenly planets. In fact, in the upper planetary systems, you know, the Tapaloka, Maharaloka, Janaloka, and Brahmaloka, they're great sages, you know, so I suppose some devotees might go there and finish up their work. And, of course, on Lord Brahma's planet, at the end of the annihilation, they all go back to Godhead. So it's possible, but I don't remember hearing that specifically, that many or most of our devotees would go to the heavenly planets. Anyone familiar with that? I'm sorry, I can't recall ever hearing that.
Recently, someone said, and I heard
Well, if
before.
You find it, let me know. I'd like to know. Because my understanding from everything, my reading, is that you may not make it this lifetime, but you're going to continue on the path of devotion. In other words, we may not be pure devotees, but we're performing pure devotional service in the sense that we're on the path of pure devotion, we're being led by the pure devotees, we're being led by this pure sampradaya from the six Goswamis, and it's all about surrendering to the lotus feet of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. To me, I don't logically see how that would be.
Haribo?
Stop it. I wish people would turn off their phones. Sorry. Oh, Maharaj.
Yeah, I just... it's a sort of a parenthesis about the quote danger unquote of devotees getting sidetracked and going to heavenly planets. With 2 points, one is that you get a grand tour if you're going back to home, back to Godhead, and if you have any temptation, do you see these heavenly planets and you're kind of tested. But I'm also more. Essentially, I remember a Vyasa Puja homage by Bhakti Tirtha Swami, and he starts off his homage by saying, "Oh no, here comes another one." He was lamenting that he only made it to a heavenly planet instead of going back to home, back to God, and he was being kind of contrite or something, and so he was. He was kind of warning us of the danger that we may only make it to a heavenly planet instead of the more direct route going back to home, back to God. Just a Vyasa Puja homage.
It can be there. And we certainly have plenty of warnings about it. And we have a lot of description by Prabhupada in the scriptures about the heavenly planets. And there's actually so much written about don't go there, basically, right? In Bhagavad Gita, in fact, the fruits are temporary and limited, and don't go in that direction. So there wouldn't be so many warnings if it wasn't a real thing that we had to be concerned about, right? So obviously, it could be an issue, and we need to be aware of it. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. It's nice to hear your class again. You said there are two incidents when Lord Viraha came and lifted the planets. Did he fight both time with Hiranyaksha?
Yes, it seems like in the first in the Satcha, in the first Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, he just rescued the earth, and then in this one, the Chakshusa, the second appearance, he fights Lord Viraha. That's my understanding of it.
Oh, I see. So Jayant Vijay don't always...
But they're kind of put together in the Bhagavatam, like they happen right together often.
Oh.
But the Acharyas all, they explain that. They say it's put together like this, but in actuality, they were two different appearances.
Okay. the other thing, when I heard that people see Lord Balaram as material, I was thinking because he took the form of... And he also has the form of Ananta Shesh, which is a snake. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking you were thinking the body of a snake is now spiritual. When I read the purport, that was my first inclination. But then you said something was going on when Prabhupada wrote the purport.
I don't know what. But you mean because they think Balaram might be?
Yeah, because
they're always Balaram.
Yeah, I was saying. I mean, that when I first heard the sentence, that's my thought, but. Maybe I'm Mayavadi thinking, that was my thought. And when you brought this other point up, I said that's kind of higher.
Of course, Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna.
Yeah, right. They think Krishna is material, so.
Well, if they think Krishna is material, then they're all material, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, once you go down that's that road. Mukunda Prabhu? Oh, I'm sorry, then
It is very nice to hear your class again. I'm fortunate that I'm able to find the time to get over here and then have the fortune of hearing you speak again. I have not been for a long time to hear you speak, so it was wonderful. Srimad Bhagavatam is very unique, and it's very important to see it through the prism of coming in the line of Mahaprabhu. Just like there was one person, he approached Mahaprabhu and he told him, if you really want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, Yaha Bhagavata Pura Vaishnavarastani Ekanta Sraya Chaitanya Charani, you should try to understand through the prism or through the lens of Mahaprabhu's vichar. So when you look from that angle of vision, Mahaprabhu actually came to give, and Srila Prabhupada was the fulfillment of that prophecy, the speciality of the highest kind of worship, mm-hmm. which is the praying between Radha and Krishna. Yeah. It doesn't diminish or take away the varieties of seva to Bhagavan in general. There, of course, if you go to South India and Sri Sampradaya, actually there are devotees of Ramachandra, Narasingha Bhagavan, mm-hmm. Varaha, so many different. So we don't diminish or suggest that their worship is not true devotion. In the speciality of the line coming from Mahaprabhu, the worship of Radha Krishna is a very special thing. And if Srila Prabhupada had come and established deities of Lakshmi Narayan, who would have known the difference? But he did establish the deities of Radha and Krishna. Krishna Balaram, Mahaprabhu, and even Jagannath Baladev is all related to Vrindavan.
Right.
So all these deities mean that the essential worship that we have is of Radha Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching in so many different ways how love has its pinnacle in Radha Krishna. So that's why the 10th canto is like, we're going to study everything systematically up to this point to understand what is love. Mm-hmm. Then the pinnacle of that love will be found in the love between Radha and Krishna. Because Radhika's love for Krishna is called Madanakya Mahabhav. So if we were like to look at a grade objectively of love, this is the highest manifestation of love. Just one last thing is that we were mentioning that Krishna has four unique qualities, and Jiva Goswami mentions Bhagavat Stavad Asadharana Aishraya Madhurya Vishes Swarup Paramananda. The other reason that Krishna is considered different among all the other forms of God, the word Asadharana means he's uncommon, even in the category of God, is because he is the only incarnation that can reconcile being Aishwarya and Madhurya at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like he's lifting Govardhan Hill, but Sanatana Goswami in his commentary says when they saw him lift the hill on his left hand, he took his right hand and put it on his waist, and when he struck the pose, they became so charmed, they forgot that this is a 7-year-old boy lifting a hill. So he's the only incarnation that can reconcile being so much opulence, but so much sweetness at the same time that their prema is nourished by that, so they never think he's Bhagavan. So he says this is a unique quality. And the last one is Swarup Paramananda means his very Swarup, his inner nature, is Radhika's presence there. And no other form of Bhagavan has that. Radhika is fully like Devi Krishnamayi Prokta, Radhika Paradevata. She is his Swarup. So that is unique only to Krishna. In other deities, Radhika makes an expansion to accommodate. Like for Ram, it's Sita. For Narayan, it's Lakshmi, et cetera, like this.
Thank you. Very, very, very nice. Yeah, I always think that's really interesting that you said like that balance that's there in Vrindavan Leela, you know, between, you know, and I was thinking actually as I was starting to go read into like Dwarka Leela and stuff, all of a sudden Krishna's using a sword whose name, I forget what's the name of this sword? Nobody knows. I'd only seen it once or twice. But anyway, you know, just like he has his, you know, his bow is what, Sharanga? Anyway, so he's using his bow, he's using his sword, Balaram's wiping everyone out with the club and the, you know, but he doesn't do that in Vrindavan, does he? When he kills a demon, how does he kill him? You know, slap him on the head, punch him, put him, right? So he kind of is acting like a human, right? And so like when he kills Putana, which is, who could do that? He sucks the life out of this horrible, huge, but he does it like a little baby, right? He does it just like, he's just acting like a little baby, you know, and it's, and you know, he kills these demons, but he preserves that. I've been reading Gopal Champu for my fourth time through lately. It's such a wonderful book. And one thing, it's really funny in there. Whenever he kills a demon, Jiva Goswami writes that, like, he says, like, Trinavarta, you know, exists. What could I do? You know, he went up in the air, and I had to hold on tight to his neck, and if I choked to death, how? It's not my fault, you know. So he even when he's killing demons, he's acting like a small child. So that's how he preserves both, in so many wonderful ways that are endearing to devotees. Anyway, thanks for pointing that out. Prad Govinda Prabhu. Did we ever get...
go ahead. What? I got it? Okay. Hey, as far as going back to the heavenly planets or whatever, that letter to Jayananda seems pretty central as far as how Prabhupada approached it. You know, when Jayananda left and Prabhupada wrote a letter to Jayananda. Yeah, you know, and I guess he figured maybe the devotees would read it before it got delivered to wherever Jayananda was, you know, since he left. But, I mean, there, you know, I pulled it up. I mean, he's saying, you know, you've done so much faithful service to Krishna. I hope at the time of your death you were remembering Krishna, and as such you were promoted to the eternal association of Krishna. So it seems like he's kind of putting it on us, you know. I mean, I'm facilitating you, and did you get it together or not? And then he concludes, of course, then he goes through, you know, if not that, then, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Then he concludes, but as you were hearing Krishna Kirtan, I am sure you were directly promoted to Krishna Loka.
That's what I remember. He said, yeah. You could have gone to, maybe went to the heavenly planets, but you probably have...
Thousands of years of celestial whatever.
Yeah, but...
Or, and if you didn't go there, you can go to some family of yogis on Earth.
And then
know?
He says, but I think you went
but
to...
But I think you did go back, so,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't that discouraging about it, you know? I mean, you're discouraged.
The thing is, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not come here to take us back to the heavenly planets, did he? He didn't. That wasn't his mission.
But if you want to go, Krishna fulfills your desire.
If you want to go, he'll facilitate that. You're welcome to, yes. Krishna says, fine. In fact, I mean, if you want to worship Lakshmi, in fact, I mean, don't the devotees of Ramanuja worship Lakshmi Narayan mostly? Yeah. And, you know, Ramanuja's great Vaishnav. Our acharyas quote Ramanuja, you know. So, but, you know, they had that form of worship. And the thing is, one thing I remember reading in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is all of these people, when Gopal Kumar goes to the different planets, and whether it's, you know, Narasimha's planet and Prahlad Maraya, he makes a point, he said, they all have prema. All of these devotees are pure devotees, they all have prema. It may not be Mahabhava like the gopis, but it's prema. You know, they're fully satisfied in their love and their relationship, because that's their relationship. That's their sarup, right? That's their eternal relationship. Now, probably, I think I can say this pretty safely, the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Gaudiyas, those of us under Srila Prabhupada, most of us are probably more oriented towards Radha Krishna worship, and that's what most of our worship is. You know, so you find some devotees sometimes who just, well, look at Rupin Sanatan's brother, Anupam. He was a devotee of Ramachandra. So, you know, that can be there too, you know. But anyway.
But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that we can have two places simultaneously.
Yes.
Like Joy Bijoy, Jagai Madai, even though they are doorkeeper, but at the same time they also relish Siva Sangan with Mahaprabhu after they got delivered. In one sense, they are not eligible as a Vaikuntha Vasi, but Mahaprabhu allowed. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a commentary that follower of Lord Chaitanya in this line can have a two places simultaneously.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
Yes.
Yeah, I read that. I think it's in the Brahma Samhita commentary.
Yes, yes.
He says, his devotees if depending on your inclination, you know, it's about you, it's in your heart. Your inclination, you can go back to Krishna Loka, you can go back to Krishna, Vraja, or you can go to Gorni, you know, with Gorni Thai, and you can go to that. He said, or you can go to both. How that happens, I have no idea. That's beyond our material intelligence. How a devotee can simultaneously be in Gaura Lila and in Krishna Lila, but it's a fact.
I was just going to say that the definition of sadhana bhakti, it say, and then in Sanatana Shiksha, there is a gradual progression, and it says, sadhan bhakti rata jane, sadhinata ratna dane, ragamarge karena pravesh. Sadhan bhakti haite hai rotira udgam, rotigara haile premanamakai. So if somebody thinks that I'm just doing whatever the system Prabhupada established, but to go to raganaga, ragamarg bhakti or spontaneous love, I don't have to follow anymore. I have to do something special, some mystical performance of remembering. That's wrong.
Right.
Because Narottam Das Thakur says, Vidhi bhakte rata jane. If you are attached to rules, regulation, and your sadhana chanting particular rounds and keep growing, rata jane, sadhinata ratna dane, there will be a spontaneous all of a sudden in your heart. And he quoted by Prabhudananda Saraswati Thakur also, that Prabhudananda Saraswati Thakur, he says, Jatha jatha gaura padara binde binde to bhakti kritapunna rasi tatha tatha sarpati vidhi akashmat radha padambuja sudhambo rasi. If somebody follow this path under Mahaprabhu's guidance, all of a sudden, akashmat, he will see Radharani's special place in the heart and he will feel natural attraction to the divine couple. Do not need to artificially practice, but he should be focusing on following the rules, regulation.
It may be sudden or it may be gradual, but
yes.
But the point is, for most people, Vaidhi Bhakti performed well, carefully, leads to Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. I mean, there's some intricacies to it about those in the sun. Some of them, you know, will be more directed towards Dwarka, and some, you know, if they're very, in other words, if they really stay with sadhana, but they're pure, they might go to Dwarka. If it doesn't really turn to more of a spontaneous, you know, the mood of the Vrijavasis. But basically, yeah, I mean, there's a progression. That's why we're doing it. We're not meant to just be on the level of, oh God, I got to do this, and I've got to get up, and I've got to chant my rounds.
That's true. That's why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur commentary on Anubhashya, on that sloka, he says that anartha nibriti is all appear almost like 50% of our whole life sadhana. But then there is a artha prabriti, means we have to hear also internal intimate pastimes of Radha Krishna and Gopi and Brajabhashis. Mm-hmm. Both has to be there. Okay. If the majestic aspect only focus just to submission and anartha nibriti, all this, it's good. But if there is no artha prabriti, means hearing the internal pastimes of Brajabhashis, like Krishna book and 10th canto, then he will not get the ultimate goal. He will have a still contamination of impersonalism. But if he goes only for the intimate pastime and not purifying, no submission, only shooting for affection, then he may turn into sahajism. So both has to be focused.
Both are there, yeah. Okay. Yes. Madhumati, did you want to? I'm sorry? Oh, okay.
Do you
want to
say it again?
No.
I don't want to go back to the topic. Right now it's such a sweet topic, so let's end Madhuram Smapayet. So let's just end with that, the...
Well, that's nice. All right. We can go to different topics.
I was just mentioning what Sri Didi Muni Prabhu mentioned about Jayananda. Mm-hmm. That's what I was bringing. And from what I remember, from what I heard, is that Prabhupada said... that Jayananda Prabhu went to the heavenly planets. That's, for some reason, I remember hearing that that's what he said. And then the devotees said, but Prabhupada, how could he go to the heavenly planets? And then Prabhupada mentioned, well, maybe this or that or something like that. And I could be wrong, but this
no,
is
but what... But what?
But that was the letter.
CTD read directly. Yeah. He read it directly from it, probably. But probably he went, or I think that he went to. No. But I always remember it like he read it.
Actually, there is a two letter. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
that's all right. We don't need to beat it to death on Jayananda. okay.
Just around Raganuga Bhakti and Vaidhi Bhakti, I'm not sure how the misconception came that when you do Raganuga Bhakti, there's no more rules and regulations. Because in Sastra, it's clear, Savana Kirtanandani, Vaidhi Bhakti Sudanti too. What changes is your mood of what you're doing.
Yes.
So it's like, an example is, there can be two people who are going to a university. One person has the aspiration, I want to be a doctor. Another person may not have a clear indication what they want to do. Both persons have to take the prerequisites. You can't walk into the university and skip over math, science, and jump into your major.
No.
You have to take the prerequisites. But in the heart of one student, he's taking the prerequisites with the idea, I want to become a doctor.
Exactly.
Which became inspired by his father or another mentor, so forth. So in the same way, the mode of practice we've been given by Srila Prabhupada is geared towards serving Radha and Krishna. All the way from Guru Astakam to Tulsi Puja, every single thing has the elements of aspiration for that. So we'll have that aspiration, and especially at the time of receiving Diksha, in the mantras you're given is the seed of an aspirational desire. So we'll cultivate that while following those practices. If you skip over the practices, as you're saying, it will become Sahajabad.
I was just reading in Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. He states in there that, real clearly, it's just like one line, he says, the sadhana for Raganuga Bhakti is the same sadhana that we've just described, you know, through the whole rest of the book about, you know, it's the same. He said, it's the same sadhana. And as you said, what's different? In fact, Prabhupada, I remember Nectar Devotion, he described it real simply. He said, one student will get up because he hears the alarm and he knows it's the order of the guru, so he gets up. The other student jumps up, you know, enthusiastic. I get to chant Hare Krishna, I get to go to RT, you know. It's a matter of mood. And it can't be an artificial mood. It has to be a real mood in the heart. And we have to be a little bit patient to get there. But also, Guru Goswami is not just patient, but also confident.
Yes.
Confident that it will happen. Confident that we will make advancement, and more our heart will become softened, and we will start to really appreciate, you know, the inner cultivation of Krishna consciousness. It's described, actually, Jiva Goswami describes in his commentary on 111, you know, on the Velocity Shunyam verse, that we worship Krishna in two ways. One is externally, what he calls chaitasa, right? And then internally, you know, what's it called, bhava? Chaturupa and bhava rupa. Thank you. And so as one advances, you really need to sort of cultivate both simultaneously.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Well, okay. Thank you all so much. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.